Good morning. I was in Pittsburgh yesterday or Friday, and as I was coming back, I was visiting someone in the hospital, and I came back. A friend of mine from Peoria called me. It was a doctor out there, and he says, Father. I said, yes, you pagan. Oh, I said, excuse me, Dr. Pagan. And he says, it'll be interesting this weekend, won't it? I said, why? He said, wait, don't you know what the readings are? I says, no. He says, they're about humility. Won't that be exciting, you talking about humility? I said, pagan, you're going to purgatory for a long time. And he is. But the reality is humility. And again, I'm not the one to talk about it. We all know, you could tell me, and you know, people go to my spirits director and tell him how I'm not. And then I just saw him on Friday, so he proceeded for an hour to tell me how I'm not. So, good thing. But what we gotta do, the only way that I think with all of us, our biggest struggle is pride. Well, it is with me anyway, but it is with all of us. It just is. You know, and because we have it in subtle ways. I'm more arrogant in my pride, but other people can be really quiet and passive aggressive in their pride. Some people can do it without ever opening their mouths, but pride, of course, if I was to ask you what the greatest sin is, you know, people come up with murder and they come up with abortion and they do all this screaming and yelling about it. Yeah, it's bad. But pride is the core sin. It's the sin of Lucifer. It's the sin that gets all the other sins inside of us. Pride, I will not serve. Pride, I know better. And whenever we get irritated, I got irritated Friday when I came back and I walked in there, and I'm jumping up and down, screaming, I'm going nuts. I went in the chapel and I said, God, why do I get so mad? And he says, because you're proud. And I just went to confession that day. But isn't it we get these little irritations because we think things should go our way. And we don't get them, we get mad. And we do the same thing with God. The only thing to counteract pride is obedience. It's it. To be obedient. Did you listen to the second reading? It talks about the blood of Jesus. It speaks so eloquently. More eloquently than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus came because he was obedient to his Father. That's why it came. That's where the audacity of humility came. He died because he obeyed his dad. And the only thing that will ever keep me, at least on the way, is I have to put myself under the obedience of a spiritual director. I got to put myself under the obedience of a bishop. I got to put myself under the obedience of the church. I got to put myself under the obedience of God and his word. And we got to do that because if we don't, then we're going to have things our way. And if God lets us get our way, we're going to hell. It's so simple. Because we sit there and we get our little corner and say, this is the way it got to be, huh? And oh, I'm going to get my way, but where can I wiggle? And that's why the core of sin, it's one of the seven deadly sins, is pride. And yet, even though every time I go around, I give my talks and I hear my confessions, when I ask, you know, and I go through the list, and on the thing of list, one of the sins on there is pride. And I say, are you proud? Oh, no, Father. Really? No, I'm not proud. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Well, if you're not proud, then don't talk about any of those other sins, because the sin that makes you do all those other sins is pride. If you gossip, it's because you have pride. If you are lustful, it's because you have pride. The core sin of all sin is pride. So you should never go to confession and say, oh, I don't have any pride. That's a lie. You just lied to a priest. I always have the sin of pride. And the only way to combat that sin is through obedience. So what we got to do is make sure, look what Jesus did. He's our example. He became a slave to the Father's will. I am not here to do my will, but the will of my Father. What we must do is become slaves to the Father's will. And the way we do that specifically is we become slaves to the church and the teaching of the church. So let's say you don't agree with artificial birth control. Doesn't matter, you're a slave. You're not the one in charge. You're a slave. You gotta take your will and put it under the will of God. Let's say I wanna get married. Ha ha, girls, are you excited? No, but God says no. You're a slave, Richard. You place your will under my will. You're not here, Larry, to get what you want. You're here to do what I want. You're not in this church today to get what you want. Okay, God, this is what I want. You're here to do what he wants, to be a slave to Jesus Christ. And that's hard. That's why we got to pray for it, huh? Somebody got me this book a while back, and I like it, except for some of the prayers. It's At Prayer with Mother Teresa. And one of these prayers, I'm sure you heard it, and I got copies for everybody, huh? So we can pray for this. I hate this prayer, I'll just tell you ahead of time. But it's one of the things that all the missionaries of charity, they say this every Thursday or every Tuesday. Are you ready? You're gonna hate it. Change my heart, O Lord. You have been brought to nothing for love of me. Reveal to my spirit the excellence of your holy humiliations. Enlightened by your light, may I begin today to destroy any pride that is wholly alive in me. This is the source of my miseries, the standing obstacle which I oppose your love. Lord, I am my own enemy when I seek peace in myself and outside of you. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being sought after, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being preferred to by others, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being consulted, Jesus, deliver me. From the desire of being approved, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being humbled, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of suffering rebuffs, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being talked about, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being forgotten, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being ridiculed, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being injured, Jesus, deliver me. From the fear of being suspected, Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, grant that I may the grace to wish that others may be more loved than I, that others may increase in the opinion of the world and I diminish, that others may be employed and I may be set aside, that others may be praised and that I would be overlooked, that others may be preferred before me in everything, that others may be more holy than I, provided I am as holy as I can be. Don't you love that prayer? Yeah, right. So I got copies for everybody so we can pray it together. Huh? I'll be on retreat all this week. 5 days of silence. Oh. And so, in those 5 days, one of the things I'm going to spend time on is Philippians 2. I'd encourage you to do the same. Take your Bibles every day and spend time with Philippians 2, because it talks about the humility of God. And if we're going to ever get there, it's going to be from that. But so the first thing you and I got to do is make sure we're obeying God. Truly obeying God. And you find that in prayer. You find that by putting yourself under a spiritual director. You find that by putting yourself under the authority of the church and listening to the church, whether you agree with it or you don't. The second thing we do got to do is pray for that humility. You know, and again, it's not something that comes easy. We in tech have used this prayer a long time. But every time we sit there and we give it out, especially to one group, they say, oh, I hate this prayer. Because it helps us to do what? Die. That others would be more loved than I. That others chosen and I forgotten. Oh. Humility. But God, when we pray for that humility, will raise us up. Everybody who humbles himself shall be exalted. But those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. That's the key. If we're going to exalt ourselves and get our way, then God's going to pull us down. If we humble ourselves, then God's going to pull us up. It's all decide what we're going to do. The last thing we got to do if we listen to the gospel is we got to associate with those who are lowly. You know, so often we want to go and we get, oh, I get to know this person. Why do I get to know that person? They'll be able to help me out. Oh, I'll have an in. I can tell everybody, oh, I know this person. Ooh, you know them, huh? I do it too. And we love that because it'll make us feel good about ourselves, or we'll be able to get something from that person later. You know, it's who's going to get to know the next president. Can I get some influence on him? That's the opposite of God. God says associate with the lowly, people who can't pay you back, people who can't do anything for you. The only thing you can do is for them. They don't have the ability to give you back anything. That's humility. When you do something for somebody who can't give it back to you, who can't give you back a favor because you gave them a favor, that's humility. So today, let's make it today the prayer. It says, may today, this day, be the beginning of my humility. May today, you and I put ourselves and become slaves of God through His church. May today, you and I pray for the grace of humility. And may today, you and I make a resolution that will hang around not just with those who can do things for us, but will associate with the lowly, because that's what Christ did. You got it? Get it? Good. May each of you know His love today and forever. Amen.